I'm Robin. Welcome to Eastlake Church. It's a church for everyone. And our whole goal is that when people come here, it won't be a flop. That we keep the main thing, having a relationship with Jesus. Because if you do, it will not flop. If church at some point becomes a chance to experience Jesus, there's no way it can flop. And Kalani mentioned we're in this series, Run ELC, back in the day, the old rap group. Who likes rap music anyways? Just kind of raise your hand. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Running. So what we're doing is we're talking about how we do church a little bit different, and how do we keep the main thing? How do we make sure that it's all about Jesus and it's about having a relationship with Jesus? It's the big idea in your notes this weekend, right? Jesus invites us to be followers. And I wanted to ask the question, think with me now, what's the best invitation you ever got? When I was in the sixth grade, I got invited to Billy Bernard's birthday party. And I was new to this small town. I didn't really know very many of the guys. And Billy Bernard invited me to his birthday party. It was a camping overnight fishing trip. So, I mean, like the best birthday party you could possibly have. And but here was the thing. The invitation arrived a little late. When I got to school that day, I noticed Billy was going around inviting different people, and I found out, you know, he invited him to his birthday party. And, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation, but you're hoping an invitation comes your way, and you don't want to, like, crowd and act like you're all anxious and so, you know. But after a little while, you know, you know, invitation, am I going to get invited to the birthday party? And I'm following Billy around the rest of the day, you know, just wondering, is he going to see me? You know, no invitation. My life was in the toilet. I mean, it's like everybody else is getting invited, and I'm not getting invited. And then Billy walked up to me, and he said the life-changing words, "Hey, I want to invite you to my birthday party." And it went from the toilet to the campground for me. And an invitation, it can change everything. And I want you to read with me just a snapshot, an invitation that Jesus did for some guys in the Bible. It's in your notes. Just grab your note sheet out. And one day Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee when he saw Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew throwing their nets into the water. They were, of course, fishermen. Jesus says, "Come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Immediately, Peter and Andrew left their fish nets and followed Jesus, an invitation. Some backstory with these guys. They're brothers, and they run a small business. They're kind of like blue-collar guys, but they have to take white-collar accounting and stuff like that, too. Small business, they're fishermen. They run a small business with a couple of other brothers, John and James, and they're just sort of going about life. What we know is they're not involved in church at all. So at some point, they just decided, I want to connect with God, but they're not in church. Who knows what happened? And they're not very religious. They don't come from some certain family. And the point of it is, who gets the invitation? Because these are people that at one point later, when they were described by others, they said they're just ordinary guys. They didn't go to the right college. They didn't come from the right family. It's not like they have a bunch of money. They're not super religious. They don't know a lot about the Bible. They don't have merit badges that they did and some kind of, they don't have any of that. They're just ordinary people that got an invitation. And it was life-changing for them when they got it. And so if you put yourself in the ordinary category, well, good news for you, because, you know, you're the type of people that Jesus invites to follow him. And this idea of being invited, of course, you have to be willing to accept the invitation, because that's what changes everything, and that's what we're going to talk about today. It's like, what does it mean to be invited? What does it mean for Jesus to, and what are you being invited into? Years ago, Clarice and I came into a place like this, and we just got married, and her job is she was going to get the seats, and my job was to get the popcorn. And so I come into the movie theater, and I get the popcorn, and I walk in, and I sit down next to her, and Clarice grabs just a little bit of popcorn, and she takes a bite of it, and she goes, "Where's the butter?" And it's like, "Well, I don't like extra butter on the popcorn." She goes, "What?" She because it's got to have butter. And I said, well, the popcorn's already yellow. It's got butter on it. She's like, no, you got to have extra butter. Now, you got to know something about my wife when it comes to popcorn. What she actually likes at the movie is a bowl of butter soup with a few granules of popcorn floating around in it. And here's the point. We all have different ways that we approach people. We're all very, very different. And when Jesus showed up the first time, he said, I want everyone to be included, regardless of your past. You may have been very involved in church or never at all. You might have a divorce. You may have gone bankrupt. You might be a manager of a company and everybody looks up at you. You might be sky high in your life right now. Physically, you might be struggling. What Jesus is saying is everyone is invited. Everybody has an invitation. Everyone can follow. No one is disqualified. No one is. Now, look in the next part of your notes. Let's just read it. Talking about this. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. He gave them this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God. I have this friend at work where I work at. It's mostly guys, and his desk used to be next to mine, but he since got moved to another part of the building. But when he first started working there, he was like sky high. Had this girlfriend, and everything was just going fantastic for this guy. And then the relationship broke up. And like a lot of times when you're hurting, you start looking for some way to deal with the pain. And I know it's easy to incur judgment when you're in that place. You see, people can't always see the pain. They see the behavior. And so he's struggling at work now, and he's not doing as well, and he's got health issues. Not too long ago, he had a pretty serious health issue. And I'm just like watching this guy who at one point was like on top of the world, and then he's just sort of regressing. And he's not doing very well at work. And the other night, I'm getting ready to leave. It's late. I'm on the late shift, and it's 9 o'clock, and I'm getting ready to go. And he gets this late deal, you know, and he's got the people there with him. And so it means he's going to have to probably stay till 9:30, 10, maybe 10:30 at night. And as I walked by his desk, man, he just looked like hell. I mean, his eyes were bloodshot. He looked completely tired, run down. And you know a salesman is tired, not doing too well, when they just made a sale and they don't look happy. I mean, this guy was just shot. And he caught me. And I was like, man, he's having a really hard time. And later that night, I called him sometime after 10 o'clock just to check and see how he was doing, what was up, and make sure he was okay. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways for people to get reconciled. And there's a lot of different ways to reach for people. But it always begins the same place. I have to care about somebody. It's one thing to say, I care about the people at work. It's another thing to say, I care about this guy at work. You know, sometimes in life, it's general and sometimes it's specific. So sometimes you have to get very specific for something to matter. As with my family recently, we're in a restaurant. I bit down, everybody's just having breakfast, it's great. I bit down on something, and I've never had this happen before. I cracked my tooth, just sliced it. He just cracked it, and it's like really super uncomfortable. It's like on a Saturday, so I call my dentist, who I really like, but I never want to see, and, you know, they get me in, you know, Monday, emergency time to get in, and he brings me in, and it was great. He gets in, I show him the tooth, he fixes everything, everything's okay, you know, pain goes away, and it's fine. But can you imagine if I'm sitting there in one of those great dentist chairs, you know, and he came in, and he sat down, and he opened up a book, and he said, hey, I want to talk to you about the history of dentistry. And so he spends 20 minutes doing that, and then he says, now, I got to tell you the importance of oral hygiene, because flossing and brushing and, you know, and tongue combs, if you use those, you're a geek, and he's like, you know, it's just, like you got to understand the history of teeth and how important your teeth are, and have you seen old people gumming oatmeal? You don't want to be like that, you know, and he spends like an hour and a half talking to me about teeth, and I'm like, doc, I got a bad tooth. I need you to look at this tooth right here. Because if he stays general, I care about the people at work, nothing ever gets done about what I need. And you know, you maybe came today and you said, well, I'm a very caring person. I care about people in my family. So, do you have a name? Are you spiritually stalking anyone? That means praying for them and just watching their life. When I walked by his desk, I'm tracking that dude. And I was like, whoa, this is pretty heavy. We have a thing that we say here at Eastlake, just to give you the DNA and what goes on here. We call it head, heart, hands. And so your head means when you start to follow Jesus, he can guide you. There was a process that happened with these fishermen, regular, ordinary guys. They start to follow Jesus, and friends and family, they notice this process starts to happen. They're like, gosh, it almost seems like they're being guided by someone, which they were. And then they notice they changed the way they were in their relationships, and their choices were really super, super different. Because in your heart, when you start, it starts to change, you start to behave differently. And then the last one was awesome, your hands. It was like they walked around and they thought they had the solution. Not in a bossy, you know, way, you know, like your hands on the hip, not that. It was like they really believed they're part of something bigger, and they could be someone's solution. Solution to the pain that comes from a broken relationship. Solution when the ends don't meet. Whatever it is, the solution. And they're moving that way. That's their backstory. And this guy that I knew at work, because I know at some point I'm hoping, I know the solution. I know he thinks it's more sales or another girl or a night out, but I know the solution. The solution is at some point he's going to have to understand how much Jesus loves him. And that if you follow, someone is guiding you. And if you follow, your heart does change. And at some point, you actually start to see yourself as the solution. Now, we say that we're people helping people find and follow Jesus, and so we're kind of on that. By the way, that doesn't mean you get a special parking place. You know, if you're like this, you reach out to people, you know, you don't get like a special place in heaven for the good people. You don't get that. You don't get a special, we don't give you a nice red hat. You don't get like a sign that says, look at me, I'm a good Christian. You don't get any of that. Here's why. Because it's just normal here. At Eastlake, it's very normal. We say this is a church for everyone, because we really believe everyone. And if you think you're all that, just know this is not a place for perfect people. It's a place for everyone. And anybody can be here. And it's a group of people that are following, changing, and part of the solution. Now, let's look at a couple practical things. I want to show you just a couple practical things. Look at your notes. The first one is be aware and available. Let me read you this. While you're at it, add us to your prayers. Pray that God would open doors and windows and minds and eyes and hearts for the word so that we can go on telling the mystery of the anointed. For this is exactly why I'm currently imprisoned. Pray that I will proclaim this message clearly and fearlessly as I should. The doors would be open. I started a new practice this year. Every morning I get to work, I drive up, and before I get out of my really sweet 1997 4Runner with 283,000 miles on it, I sit there, and I don't even turn the car off. I know that's bad for pollution, but I do it because I want to make sure I don't move from that seat, and I say a prayer. Takes me about 15 seconds. I just started it this year, And you might be, you know, I say a prayer. Here's why. I noticed that I wasn't a part of the solution at work. I was starting to become part of the problem. My attitude at work and the way I felt about people I worked with. And then I you start to chirp to people. The next thing you know, you're talking to people. And I was just like, yeah. And like this part of the Bible says, I thought, you know, I think I'm going to just start my day with a prayer. And I can't believe the difference that it's made. Because before that, I was not a positive influence. I was a negative influence. I wasn't helping Jesus. You know, have you seen those people that, maybe this has happened to you, you know, someone pulled right in front of you, some dumb driver, and cut you off, and then you see like a little fish on their bumper or like a little Jesus tag, and you're like, you're not a good enough driver. You're not helping Jesus. You should take that off, you know? That was me at work. I was not shining the light. And I just started praying. And you know, the reason I keep the car going is because I don't want to pollute the air, burn my gas. And so I know that just a nice little short prayer. It goes like this. I'll just say it in front of you. I just stop. I say, God, I need your help today. I don't know what's going to come up or what's going to happen, but I want to be a light. I want people to see something in me that convinces them that I'm with you, that I follow you. And I know that in my own strength, it's not going to happen. So before I even get out of the car, God, would you give me the power and make me aware all day long? And I ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen. And just something like that. I do it every single day. Man, has it made a difference. And I encourage you to do the same because it's very, very simple. Now, this idea of being aware and available, lots of different ways to do it, lots of different ways that it looks to, but there's a person that wrote a book, it's called Flesh, and he talks about what it's just to be ordinary people and how to reach out to people, and I wanted you to kind of get his take, Hugh Halter. So check this out right here, check this video out.
What I found about evangelism is sometimes it's not just telling people something they've never heard. It's actually changing the assumptions about what they think it is. Case in point, a guy named Billy in my old neighborhood, mafia guy from St. Louis, and he didn't like me. His wife came to faith in our church plant. She was right next door, and one day I'm out mowing the yard, and I made a turn, and I noticed Billy's deck was up above my fence, and Billy's kind of, there's something going on. It looks like he's waving, but Billy doesn't wave. I know he hates me, so I'm just mowing. But then my eyes focused, and I realized Billy was flipping me off. So I just acted like, you know, I didn't really see that, and so I made another pass. I'm just praying. I hope Billy goes away. And I made one more turn, and Billy's still there flipping me off. And so now I'm having a talk with God. Well, what do you want me to do? How do I witness to Billy? How do I stay alive? And I don't know if it was the pizza that I ate the night before, or the Holy Spirit, but I felt like God told me to flip him off back. Did a couple passes. Are you sure that's how you want to play this thing? And so I felt like, yeah, we got to do that. So I parked, came right up to the fence, and Billy's right there. And I had one of those mowers where if you let off the thing, it gets quiet. So I just kind of let go of the thing. And pinkies, okay? And I just stood there. And Billy had his finger up. And it was really quiet, like there were birds chirping. It was kind of a Clint Eastwood theme song, like. And all of a sudden, Billy put his finger down and he dropped an F-bomb on me. He said, F, you want to come over for a beer? Absolutely, be right over. And so Billy became a friend. Billy eventually became a part of our church and our family.
Let's read this next part in the Bible here. Be wise when you engage with those outside the faith community. Make the most of every moment and every encounter. When you speak the word, speak it gracefully, as if seasoned with salt. so you'll know how to respond to everyone rightly. And, you know, I don't know if you come to church and you think, oh, that's awesome. I get to flip people off for Jesus. It's not that. Here's the point of the story. This cat's mowing the lawn. And he's so aware that God can catch him and say something pretty unconventional. If you put that on a true and false test on how to be a good Christian, nobody would circle true except for the Lord. See, here's the thing. When it says seasoned with salt, everybody likes a different amount of salt on their food. My wife, she likes a ton of salt on her food. I've got a friend that likes like a salt block sitting on the table. You know, I like a little tiny little bit of salt. Clarice likes lots and lots of butter on her popcorn. And I just think it makes a mess in my hands. I miss a movie because I have to go wash them every 5 minutes. I mean, it's just, we're all very, very different. And the people we're engaged with are very, very different. And this is a church for everyone. It's a safe place for you to bring your friends. It's a safe place to engage people. And as the Lord leads you, the way you're going to care is way different than how I'm going to care. The people in your life are way different than anybody else's life and your relationship with them. Part of what makes us tick at Eastlake Church is the idea of process. We understand it starts up in your head and it gets to your heart and eventually you're part of the group, the people helping people. It's process with people. You know, at 10:15 the other night, when all of a sudden it was like, give him a call, it's kind of weird for a dude to call another dude for no reason. Guys aren't like girls that'll talk on the phone for 2 hours about nothing. Guys aren't like that. I mean, you call a guy, it's like, you got a reason. What's the mission? What's the assignment? Why are we talking? I'm playing videos. What's up? You know, it's like a risk. And I wanted to show you a picture. It's a posture of what it is to be aware. This one. I thought this was so great. If this was me on the inside, if I go through my life and I'm like these guys, we've all seen the race. I picked this one because these aren't the Olympic champion type people. These are ordinary people. Notice them, sweats, don't even have the fancy short shorts. I mean, these are just regular people. But their posture, they're ready. And somewhere alongside of them, someone's standing with a gun. And let me tell you, when that gun goes off, you don't miss that. Sometimes someone goes too early, but when the gun goes off, you never see one of those racers, you know, kind of stand up and go, did I hear something? What's all the fellas running for? It's like, why? Because they're waiting. When the gun went off at my house at 10:15 at night, it wasn't hard to hear. Because I'm with that guy every day. I've seen the slide in his life. I've been frustrated with it and said, whatever then, maybe you need a hard lesson. I'm with that dude. And the other night at 10:15, when the gun went off, I heard it right away. And it was great to call him. A little risky, but it was great to call him here. I'm on my way to pizza, and I got out a little earlier than I thought. And I was just like, cool, dude, I just want to check and see if you need any help with anything. And here's what I'm wanting to say at Eastlake. This is what we believe. It's not difficult. You don't need a badge, a degree, a Bible degree. You don't have to go through any classes, nothing. Just be available and aware to the people in your life. Make a huge difference. Now the second thing, and write in your notes, we invest and invite. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. So what it's saying is it's not just about talking and telling people stuff. It's about being with people. And think for a moment, just bear with me, you know, maybe you believe this, I believe this, that God's Son came to earth, and he didn't just get on the highest, he didn't go up to Mount Everest and yell out, everybody listen now. And just like dump it on everybody and say, okay, choose. And imagine how condescending that must have been to come from heaven where it's perfect and you're perfect and you become a person. And when these fishermen decided they're going to follow, he didn't put them in a seminar on how to be Christian or how to be with Jesus. He lived with them. They saw Jesus and how he acted at parties. And they saw how he acted at funerals. They saw how he handled his money. They saw his struggles with his family. They saw what his friendships were like. They saw him heal people. He invited them on the speaking tours. They saw him laugh with children. And they saw Jesus cry when people weren't ready and rejected the invitation. They were with him, and Jesus was with them. And that's how it happens. You know, it's at Eastlake, we have these growth groups, and really the whole idea is, this is great. We come to church, we're in a place like this, super, super cool thing, musicians are great. And yet our real belief is as we're with people, and they get us, they watch how we forgive others, they watch how we live in our marriages, they see how we are with people at work, and as they get us, then they think, well, I want that too. We live with each other. It's not an event only. I've got this buddy that asked me and some other guys to help him move, so you know how close we are. So I go to help him move, and I got these younger guys with me, right? They're Christian guys. No one's married or anything. This dude's older, and he's got a teenager and a son. I think his son was about 5 at the time. And so we're gonna all move. You know how guys are when they're moved. They just want to get it done, you know, and get to the pizza and beer after. And so anyways, we're all working. And he lives in this 2-story house. We're moving everything. And if you go up the stairs into the master bedroom, which is at the back, the very, very narrow hallway. I mean, really, just one guy could walk down, really super narrow. And we're, you know, so me and some of the other younger guys are going upstairs, and we're going to go into the master bedroom. So we go up the stairs, and we're going down this kind of narrow hallway, and all of a sudden, his young son comes out of the master bedroom with a shotgun. Yeah. He just comes walking, he just walks out of the master bedroom, and he's got a shotgun, and he's pointing like this right down the hallway, and I'm first in line. And I'm like, hey, little dude, what you doing with the gun? And he's like, hey, guys, look at this. You know, you're seeing your life just flash in front of you. Like, oh, if I said my prayers, am I all forgiven up? Oh, my God, what's happening? And all of a sudden, just as it happens, I hear his dad from behind us call his name. And then he says, put that gun down right now. Man, I was so grateful when I saw that kid just put the gun down there right there. I think he instantly knew, oh, I'm in a lot of crap. And his dad comes up and he grabs the gun. He grabs him in one hand and he takes him into the bedroom. It doesn't even shut the door. Now, we're moving. His stuff's always locked up. Somehow it was out just for a second. The kid got a hold of it. And we're all still standing in the hallway, you know, wondering, did I pee my pants? Can I move without being embarrassed? Or did I or not? You know how that's embarrassing, because, you know, and we're just all watching this thing. And this dad, I've seen him do this kind of stuff a lot of times. He sits down with his son, and he gives him a rebuke, but he doesn't crush him. And that was a pretty dangerous situation. And somehow he was able to get the point across. You've been told. I've said several times. I don't care if it was out. You know, it's just, he really clamps it down. It's like, absolutely never when it comes to guns. But somehow, in the way he reached for him, he was still like, I understand. It probably was just calling your name. And you wanted to pick it up. And you know, he's just like, he got the big guys and show them that you can be a big guy too. And somehow, and it was just like a 90-second parenting class. Now, when I think back on that, what strikes me is the young guys that were there, that some are married now, and they're going to have their own kids. And they had an opportunity to see something. How do you correct your child and not crush your child? How do you make sure this can't happen again? but you're going to go forward because I believe in you. And it all happened, movements and stuff, doing life together, being with each other. And the next thing you know, we got this great picture of how do I be a follower of Christ and an adult, and how do I work with my children? And they all got to play that forward and take that forward in their life. At East Lake, when we say people helping people, it's a lot of that stuff. Watching people, sharing with people, knowing you don't have to look super religious and have it all together. Because different people that are watching you and you're watching others, that's how we move forward. Now the last thing, and it's the bottom line, everyone is included and no one does it alone. This is the last thing Jesus said. If you bookend his life, the front of it was come follow me. And right before he went to heaven, he said this last thing I'm going to read you. Jesus came to them and said, so these are these same fishermen, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go and make followers of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll have a baptism pretty soon. Teach them to do all the things I've told you. And I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. And that's why the main thing always has to stay the main thing, that Jesus is with us. Now listen to this. This is, if you, we'll close with this. And if you walked into the doctor's office and you've got an issue, you need to see the doctor, and you walk in and nobody's there, but there's a big sign on the wall. And this is what the sign says. If you're sick or hurt, you'll have to leave. The doctor's here and knows a lot about healing, but he can't take a chance on catching what you've got. Now, that's anti-Jesus. That church is never supposed to look that way. But listen to Jesus. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? This is in Matthew chapter 11. Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, says the Lord, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And that's why we keep the main thing, the main thing, and the main thing is Jesus.